It's Tuesday, September 16th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we continue our series in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 9, starting with verse 1, with a message titled, Who is the Israel of God?
Did God's promises fail to national Israel? Did his word return void? It is not as though the word of God has failed with regard to Israel. His word never returns void. It always sets out what it accomplishes to do. It never loses one of the sheep. But God always saves his people. God always delivers his people. God has never left his people.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn tonight to Romans chapter 9 as we continue our study in the book of Romans. Obviously, a major shift in the book tonight. And tonight, we begin looking at this great subject of the nation of Israel and God's electing grace. So we will be studying together tonight Romans 1, 9, 1 through 8. 1 through 8 of Romans chapter 9, found on page 1123. Let's give our attention tonight to the word of the Lord. Beginning at verse 1, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites. And to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. And there tonight we'll end the reading of God's word. Well, we concluded last time in our study of the book of Romans, the wonderful end of Romans chapter 8, which really did end on a high note, didn't it? It was a beautiful high note that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What a wonderful passage. It's just like kind of to stay there, right? Stay there and preach the stuff that is so wonderful like that. But we move along in the scriptures to other more difficult and challenging subjects. I think tonight this must have been what was said by Peter of Paul, that there are some things that are difficult and hard to understand. And I cannot imagine he didn't think about Romans chapter 9 when he said that, or the truth that Paul taught on election and these sort of things. But I think we take for granted the radical statement that was said at the end of this. Who did God love? We are more than conquerors through him who loved, notice the emphasis, us. Us. See how easy it would be to read right over that? Us. Who is the us? Well, here he was talking to the church in Rome, which was made up of Jews and Gentiles, predominantly probably a Gentile church, but there were Jews there. There was some struggle there we'll look at in the section on liberty that's coming up in chapter 14. But I think that it's important to sort of park on this point just for a moment as we launch into this great section, that we have lost and appreciate the one great truth of what has been given to us as God's people. We so commonly say this. We so commonly hear this, right? We don't deserve any of this. We were strangers, as Paul would say in Ephesians, to the covenants of promise. We were strangers, our ancestors, our people, our kinsmen throughout history were idol worshipers. We were alienated from the life of God, he said in Ephesians chapter 2. But a great truth has been said. Something great has happened, Paul said, that he has torn down the middle wall of separation, making the two one. Who is that? Jew and Gentile. He's made the two one. He tore down that partition between Jew and Gentile and made them one. Now, for all the, we're going to look at this in Romans. There's been so much confusion on this point. For all of the arguments and all of the tension around Israel and the promises made to Israel, for anyone to come along and say, you are the Israel of God, gets labeled today as whatever it might be, replacement theology, which is just ridiculous. This is fulfillment. And the question that we begin was is with, what was God's plan all throughout history? What did God plan to do all throughout history when he made the covenant with Abraham? Who did it have in mind? And what was God's plan that would unfold throughout history, promised to Abraham? Well, there was a concept that was introduced in chapter 8. That was the first time it was introduced in the book of Romans. And the concept, the doctrine, the word that he chose was predestination. He predestined us. He foreknew us. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. You have to appreciate that great truth. If there's anything Israel would have said, was we are the elect nation of God. We are the elect nation of God. And Paul is speaking to the church this way. He's saying those things to the church. So you have to appreciate that now Paul, as before we get into all those things, all this is going to come together as we go through Romans 9 through 11. It's a lengthy section that addresses this, but it's so important. This is such an important section. Paul feels compelled to address this great subject because it is a burdensome one for him in many ways, but it's also a confusing one for people, and he wants to make clear some things about God's promises. It's very maybe complex in some ways, but really not when we understand the basic thing that Paul is saying to us. God made all these promises to Israel, didn't he? I think of all the dispensational teachers over the radio waves over the years saying, Israel is the apple of God's eye. I just remember hearing Jay Vernon on the radio growing up. It's Jay Vernon. Most of you probably didn't listen to Jay Vernon, but I always had Jay Vernon on. Friends, I could do it. I could still do the voice. Friends, you know. They would always talk. I met David Hawking one time, and he calls all of you replacement theologists. Well, we need to look at this, don't we? This was a very important issue for the apostle. They sit in unbelief. Israel does. To this day, if you want to still look at it in those terms since 1948, if you want to look at Israel becoming a nation in 1948, which they've made a big issue of, still to this day, the nation sits in unbelief. Well, what happened? They were people just like us. They sat and listened to sermons years ago. They heard the same promises announced to them. They saw the deliverance of Christ in the wilderness. See, that's a big dilemma, isn't it? That's a big dilemma that has to be wrestled through a little bit. And if we have just heard that nothing separates us from God's love, what about Israel? Were they separated? Were they abandoned by God? And what might that be an implication for us? Could that happen to us? You see, there's well-known pastors who, I think, sometimes abuse the warning texts of Scripture. And we saw one this past week, and he made us put us in the same place of Israel. Can salvation be lost? See how important the subject of Israel is, and that's Romans 9 through 11. Here we are thousands of years removed really from the first century, but this was very important in the first century for those Christians to think through and to wrestle through. And you feel how great the dilemma is, don't you? You see why this would be such a great issue to address in the scriptures. Did God's promises fail to national Israel? Did his word return void? That single question drives chapters 9 through 11. And so tonight we begin this treatment of the nation of Israel and God's promises and how we are to understand what happened and to look at beginning of this a few key principles to understand who the Israel of God is. And he'll unpack that as we go. We won't get all those answers tonight, but it will help us begin to understand this. So the crucial issue comes out in verse 6, doesn't it? In verse 6 of chapter 9, it is not as though the word of God has failed. Well, there it is. He's thinking of Israel. It is not as though the word of God has failed with regard to Israel. You remember the great verse in Isaiah, his word never returns void. It always sets out what it accomplishes to do. It never loses one of the sheep. It cuts two ways for sure. But God always saves his people. God always delivers his people. God has never left his people. So you see this issue. Can God's word of promise fail? Think of your children. That's important, isn't it? In first five verses of Romans, Paul sets up the dilemma of Romans 9 by describing all these privileges of Israel. Nine advantages that Israel received. Notice it. They are Israelites. He begins there in Romans 9, verse 4. They are Israelites. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. Notice this, who is God over all. There's a great statement of the divinity of Jesus, isn't it? Blessed forever, amen. They are Israelites. I mean, if you just kind of work through some of this, these are remarkable advantages that they had. They were the single nation that God set up apart in the earth to be his people. Israel was given the greatest title because it meant to be the people of God. They were called the people of God, the God of heaven and earth. No other nation in all the earth had this blessing. They were given the adoption. They had the great privilege of, in a sense, being God's firstborn, if you will, his own special people, his own holy nation, his people called out of darkness. They were given the glory. You think of his presence among them. He's thinking probably of the glory cloud, his glory and the Shekinah glory and in the temple as it came down upon the temple, rested upon them, led them through the wilderness. The covenants. I will be your God and you will be my people. All based upon that covenant of grace that was given to Abraham. And then at Sinai, the giving of the law, that he actually gave them the oracles of God. That's what we looked at in Romans chapter 3. He gave them the oracles of God. He made them a peculiar people. He made them a people who knew his statutes and his testimonies. Literally, the next one, the worship of God. They could come right up to the tabernacle. They could, later the temple, they had a localized place where God said to dwell with his people. And even the promises, it says, all those promises that were made to them all over the scriptures. And the capstone, of course, in Paul's mind, as far as the human nature is concerned of Christ, this is the nation from whom Christ came. Who is over all the eternal blessed God. So this is a remarkable, no single nation of the earth had this kind of amazing blessing. You remember in Deuteronomy, for whatever reason, the Lord said, you can call upon the Lord. So you get the concern. What happened? What happened? And tonight, I think we have one of the worst agonies for the Apostle Paul in Scripture. I don't even think he could keep a dry eye through this whole thing. I'm speaking the truth in Christ, verse 1. I'm not lying here. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. These are my kin. These are my people. The only other time Paul speaks about being accursed is Galatians 1, as far as I know. If you deny the gospel, anyone who brings a different gospel is cursed, anathema, put under the ban. Paul is hurting and weeping so strongly here over his people, his own brothers, the Israelites. So much so, think about this. People have stopped and said he couldn't really mean this. No, he meant this. If they could be saved, if I could be the substitute through me, I would become accursed. I would gladly take that and be forever cut off from Christ if they could be delivered. What a pastor's heart, you know? It's an amazing testimony of the apostle's heart. My heart aches for them because of their what? Their unbelief. They had all this. They were given all this. You know, I have to pause and say, it's a strange time we live. I never thought I'd see something like this, but you just have to say it. You probably are not even aware of it, but that there's a movement sweeping this country in Christian nationalism that is a neo-Nazi movement of hating the Jews again. And you're seeing this in Christianity rise up, where we're dealing with something very demonic happening, where they are blaming the Jews for everything. And the same spirit that came out in the Hitler regime has come back. That is not the spirit of the apostle, is it? Not the spirit. What in the world went wrong with Israel? That's the question. And the only conclusion you can draw after all of this is to say, some might say, that's why he's engaging this, God failed. God failed. His word didn't come to pass with regard to them. It did not come to pass, and it did not accomplish what he said it would do. Now, Paul's answering this tonight, and Paul's answering this up front. That's why I didn't want to go too deep into this, because I think that's the crucial start of 9 through 11 to deal with this great issue. But I think we can think about this in a similar way. God's been really good to his people, hasn't he? To us. You think of all the benefits. Baptism. we have the covenant of grace. We have the law read to us every Sunday. He's made promise after promise, hasn't he? And I'm sure maybe not all of us, but most of us here have been brought up in a Christian home. And depending on whatever schooling it was, you had some contact with being trained, whether it was in catechism in the church or in the Christian school, you've been trained about the Lord. And now you sit on this side of the cross and you see all that's happened. You see everything that they wanted to see. Does that mean nothing? Do all those benefits mean nothing? God tells you he loves you. What is the single great difference? What is the single great difference? Well, I think initially you have to say what with the author of Hebrews, they did not receive any of those things by faith. What has the whole book of Romans been pushing us to? Faith alone. Faith in your God. Faith in the works of Christ for you. Faith in his substitutionary atonement, which all these benefits speak to. And we know what Paul feels here. When we see people turn away from this, how do we feel? Sorrow. Sorrow. Pain. Why would people do that? And we're going to study this. And Paul doesn't see this as some fatalistic answer. This is why the gospel ministry goes out. How will they hear without a preacher? He's going to say in Romans 10. And we have great hope in announcing the gospel. But Paul told us, when we have all these external advantages, what should that do? It should lead us somewhere. This is what he said in Romans 2. The goodness of God leads us somewhere. It should lead us to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to faith in believing him and turning to him. But the first thing that Paul wants to make very clear here tonight is that their unbelief, Israel's unbelief, was not God's fault. Time and time again, God sent prophets rising up early, and those prophets preached to them. And there's a little parable told in Isaiah that captures this beautifully. He gave a whole parable of Israel, his vineyard. Let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding my vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and made wine presses in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done in my vineyard that I've not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. And God sent prophets, didn't he? And that's exactly what happened. But then Israel would sing Psalm 80, wouldn't they? And at the very end of that celebration of the vineyard, it said, "Would you restore us again? Choose somebody. The man of your choosing to restore us." I'll come back to that. When Stephen spoke to Israel, this was his testimony. "You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you."
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope to see you again next time for part two of this message in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.